Hey, it's Paulette again, and I'm honored to bring you another episode here on the Thriving in Chaos Project, now in its fourth season. I bring you resilient survivors, key resources, and experts in their fields to lighten the load and shine a light on the path forward from confusion to conclusion through all things divorce and transformation. So let's get started. I am hosting a retreat in Belize. Some of you may know, but I used to live there. And Belize is a melting pot of culture that carries over into the food, the music, and the fun. It is the best of both vibes, from jungles to ground you and beaches to heal and soothe. I lived there for many years and go back and forth between there and Atlanta because I can't get enough. My co-host, Tierra, visited me and didn't want to leave either. No one does. This is paradise, folks. My co-host Tierra and I chatted about the perfect all-inclusive location for you ladies that are going through a pivot in your life and need to reset, renew, and rebuild, and we nailed it. We kick off with a three-day adventure in the luxurious eco-resort Copal Tree in the southern Belize jungle, followed by three luxurious days on Thatch Cay Island, a private island over water, oceanfront oasis in the turquoise Caribbean along the Belize Barrier Reef. Whether you're going through or just coming out of a divorce, especially with a narcissist, a career change, or you just want to get back to the parts of you that you haven't seen in a while, we are talking to you. Make note, May 4th to the 10th, 2024, and start packing. Space is very limited on the private island and in the jungle. Be sure to act now. We have a passion for leading truly transformational healing events, from heart-opening, accessible guided meditations to connection-based life-changing tools and practices. We curate each moment with care and compassion to ensure every lady is taken care of from the initial registration to the final namaste. It's better in Belize. Welcome back to the Thriving in Chaos Project. I'm your host, Paulette Rigo. I'm going to jump in to continue this series on the biggest, most common mistakes I see people make in divorce. Well, I don't know that any of them are any worse or better than the other, so we're going to continue down this conversation because I want to make sure that if you happen to be considering or managing or trying to just get through a divorce, that you can avoid making these mistakes. Now, number nine, although they're not necessarily in this particular order. Next one, and this one is so important, lowering yourself to argue, yell, name call, or engage in what I call text warfare. I don't know that we would have been having this conversation about 20 years ago, or who knows exactly when the phenomenon of technology took over our lives. But back in the day, when a couple was divorcing, the arguments would have been in person, through gossip, can't forget that one, through a letter, an actual paper letter, or through an attorney. Now, it's a whole new day at the races. We have several different ways of communicating. And the least connected, the least, where you feel vulnerable is text messaging. Why? Well, it's just words. It's just, you know, a keyboard. And when you start typing away and you're getting it off your chest and you're going at it, there's no accountability. It feels anonymous in many ways. It feels good to just regurgitate and get it out on paper. Well, technological paper, but there's less accountability. You do not have eye contact, body language, physical energy, or even witnesses until it's copy and pasted or screenshot and shared. And just so you know, everything technology-wise is typically admissible in court. So whether you feel the need to write it down in an email or text messaging, be careful where you don't fall into that trap. It is easy to fall into the trap of retaliation when you're being criticized, right? Nodding your head, made fun of, lied to, disregarded, alienated, manipulated, and probably every other negative emotion and experience you can have in the divorce process. But you have to remember, in the back of your head, always say, what would the judge think? How would this look in court if it were to be read to a judge or used as evidence? You have to step into a place of letting go with grace and start to find the courage and strength to rise above without reacting. Think of text messaging as Satan. It is this hollow hole of emotion all wrapped up into one nice little keyboard. Hey, it's a blank canvas, and you've got a canvas there screaming, send a message, send a message. And now that you've got emojis and voice memo and dictation and GIFs and, oh my goodness, what isn't there? You can pretty much send fireworks and gunshots and what all the effects that are there, and every one of them is going to be interpreted. Now, communication is key. And let's think of the different ways to communicate. The one that is the most distant, or the one that feels the most distant, would be text, because for the reasons I've just discussed. The next one is typically email, where you feel the sense of it being a letter. Right now, it's shifted from just a little screen on your phone or your laptop to being a little more formal, because it's in an email form where it looks a little bit more like the old school letters used to be. And you can send attachments and all kinds of other things. And by the way, they are all admissible in court as well. Now you have this phenomenon of Zoom, right? Or many other technological platforms that are recorded as video conferencing with Google Hangouts, and gosh, there's probably 50 of them now. So that video conferencing would be the next step of, my confidence is now going down a little bit more because, well, they can see me. They know where I am, unless I have some sort of random screen in the back. It's a bit more accountable. There's a timestamp. Where are you? You can see body language, eye contact. And are you alone? Is anyone else there? Are there voices in the background? Whereas in text messaging, you could be in the bathroom. You could be in a bar. You could be in a strip joint. You could be at a shopping mall, or you could just be sitting in your office. Who's going to know? Email, kind of similar, but with video conferencing, it can get a little bit more personal. And how do you feel when you're now in person? A whole different feeling, because there's energy. There might be witnesses. Who's listening? Are you being recorded? Are there a sense of comfort? Is it a Are you in an environment that you're comfortable or you're familiar with? Or are you in a park or some neutral territory? Are you in a car? You know, there's so many different elements that are going to take consideration when you're now in person, shifting from text to email to video conferencing to in person. Now, the formality of that next step would be an attorney's office, a fiduciary's office, or court. Therefore, when you feel the need to retaliate, fight back, argue, yell, name call, and dare we go into the world of swearing, using foul language, if there's no accountability, which text messaging feels like at times, when you get emotional, be careful. Always best to not say anything. And in divorce, with the case of most people, if you have children, sometimes it's best to use a co-parenting app because there's accountability with that texting. And there's something even called a tone meter that's either green, yellow, or red that will let you know, go ahead and send that. That's safe. That's polite. That's respectful. If it's yellow, there's a little bit of, are you sure you really want to say that? Is there another way that perhaps you could word it so that isn't perceived in a negative light? Could you use a different word, a different tone? And if it's red, well, you know, don't send it. This mistake has lasting repercussions. So be careful. People don't forget text messages. Much more so than words. They keep them, they savor them, they collect them, they screenshot them, they print them, and they end up as evidence in court. So please don't use this technique to retaliate. Don't fall into the trap or this mistake. The best way to communicate in divorce is through your attorney or through an email that is carefully curated, edited, and reviewed with a safe person that can make sure that when you hit send, there's not going to be any ramifications. Be careful. Technology can be wonderful, but in divorce, it can be hell. Now, remember that when you text somebody, it's forever and it's public. We also think that electronics is a private conversation between two people, right? You sent one message to one person. Well, that's a fantasy. No, you didn't. It will be shared, promise me. It will be forwarded and shared. I've seen it numerous times. So be careful. Don't lower yourself and don't engage in text warfare. Next time, we're going to delve into another mistake. Remember, I'm a certified divorce coach and a credentialed mediator and author of Better Divorce Blueprint. I also host retreats one-on-one and in group settings for those who are looking to heal after divorce. Until next time, Paulette Rigo. Talk soon. Thanks for joining me today. If you were inspired by today's episode, please share it with a friend or a loved one. My hope is you feel empowered to take some action, no matter how big or small. Action that allows you to step out of the chaos and thrive on your own terms. If this podcast added any value to your day, please review it on iTunes, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Until next time. Keep thriving in the chaos.